Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside. Hi there, it's Selena today, and I am so excited for you to hear today's episode. I'm so glad you decided to hit play on this one because it is with the one and only Donna Lancaster. Donna Lancaster is co-founder and facilitator of The Bridge Retreat. She's been working with individuals, couples, and groups for over 25 years, but more than that, she lives in a way where she really, really honors her relationship with herself and her ancestors. And she is constantly 2 feet on the playing field, healing and connecting with life. And so she wanted to actually come back on the podcast. She's been on it before talking about grief and The Bridge, which is an amazing episode. I'll put it in the show notes. So you can also listen to that. She wanted to talk about her self-marriage. She married herself on her 50th birthday about 2 years ago. And she wanted to share about the experience because for her, well, she'll explain why. I don't need to go into it. But the conversation, obviously, we talked about self-love. We talked about self-marriage. We talked about how she did it, what she wore. I really wanted to find out about the day. It was such an inspiring conversation. And of course, we got into all sorts of other stuff. We talked about why it is not in the best interest of a capitalist society for us to love ourselves. You know, that would not work for a capitalist society. And we unpack that. We also talked about the necessary part that suffering plays in our transformation, how to navigate that, not to be afraid of that. I mean, we talked about witches. We got into it all. It really inspired me about doing my own kind of self-marriage commitment to myself as I step into my 40s. I'm going to wait until the end of the episode to tell you whether I am doing anything and if I am, what I'm doing. Because during the conversation, I'm a bit like, oh, maybe I should. Oh, I don't know. So wait till the end and you'll hear whether I am doing something and if I am, what I'm planning. For me, this conversation, as every conversation with Donna is, was real food for the soul. So I hope it is for you as well as you listen in now. Enjoy. Donna, thank you for joining us again on another podcast, your second time.
No, thank you so much for inviting me. And I do believe the first podcast I did ever was with you.
Yeah, I know. And you were like, I said, I really want to do a podcast episode with you talking about grief. And you were like, which is obviously one of your favorite topics of all time. You love talking about it, but you're like, I mean, I'll do it. Don't expect me to enjoy it. And I was like, I ain't going to show you the joy of podcast. And then you asked me if we could do this one.
I know, look at me. I know. Needing to be seen and heard. No, I love it. And I've really enjoyed you. Yes, you kick-started something. You popped my podcast cherry.
Yeah.
And I've been on a roll with podcasts ever since. So thank you.
Oh, wow. I just think podcasts are so powerful because you get the opportunity to really get deep into conversation.
Nice.
And I love listening to podcasts. I love recording them. Oh, just, yeah, I just love having these kinds of conversations.
Me too.
So for those of you listening, if you haven't heard the podcast episode we did before on grief, then I highly recommend it. We were very excited talking about grief and got deep into it and the importance of it and the power of processing grief. But today, on a totally, related, but on a totally different side of the spectrum, we're going to be talking about self-marriage and self-love and committing to yourself.
We are.
And as it was you, Donna, who said, I'd love to come back and talk about this topic. Mm. Can you just explain why you're so passionate about talking about and sharing about it?
Sure. I mean, I suggested this topic because I really feel that, you know, people, it's something that has a sort of element of humour about it. And I've got no problem with that, because it is quite, you know, this idea of sort of, you know, marrying yourself and, you know, walking yourself down the aisle and what will the sex be like? You know, it's hilarious.
I hadn't even thought about that. Like, what was the first night?
Yeah,
like?
Exactly. She was always so ready for me. And strangely enough, she's always in the mood when I am and not when I'm not, you know. So I see the humour in it, and also there's a depth to it, which is kind of my approach to life, is that there's, you know, there's this kind of wonderful humour, and I've got great humour, and I love a bit of dark humour, and there's also a depth and meaning that I don't want to kind of undermine the power of committing to yourself, which is really what self-marriage is all about. It's actually saying finally the words and committing to yourself and your life and your body and your being in a way that you might commit to somebody else, whether you get married or you have some kind of commitment ceremony, or you just live with somebody, and what that means to commit to this other person that you love. And to me, self-marriage is exactly that. It's about saying, I choose you, i.e. yourself. I choose to love and cherish you just as I might do another person, a partner, for example.
So can we hear about your marriage to yourself?
Oh, yes.
When it was, what it was like, what you wore.
Oh, the dress. No, it was beautiful. It was actually on my 50th birthday.
Amazing.
So I had planned it for some time, and I really, I just decided that 50 was a kind of, it's a milestone, you know, it's a milestone birthday. And I really felt like, wow, I'm definitely a grown up, you know, and I wanted to honor myself in some way. And, you know, as you know, parts about my life, it's been a long, like most people, it's been a long journey back to loving myself and accepting all of myself. And so I really wanted to honor that, not just being 50, but what it meant for me for this next phase of my life to really live in love with myself.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I got married in Austria, and I had one special guest, which was my best friend, Gabby. And we did, you know, when we talked about it, and Gabby said, you know, what do you want? So we literally, we went and I chose a ring, not on the day, but I chose a ring whilst I was there. I wanted to get the ring when I was in Austria. And that was like really lovely, just picking a ring. And
it was so
special. It was an excuse to spend some money on myself, which was really, again, lots of people can relate, where they're like reluctant to kind of honour themselves by actually investing in themselves with treats or whatever. And so I was like, yeah, no, I'm going to buy a ring that I really like, you know. And so I did. And then on the actual day, which was also my birthday, we just got up, and I was staying at Gabby's house in Austria, and we literally, I came out and she'd done this beautiful sort of display of celebration of my life. And it was so beautiful. And, you know, all the things that you expect, balloons and notes and gifts. Aww. And it was, she'd done it's like a tree that she'd tied all different messages to. And it was so special. So I had a lovely sort of breakfast. Birthday breakfast. And then we went out and we cycled to the church where I was going to get married. And I'm not religious or anything like that. And I just wanted to go somewhere that felt sacred and felt special. And so we went to this, so we cycled to this church that Gabby had sort of suggested. And we went in there, and there was sort of, it was hardly anyone was in there. And we just quietly took a spot at the back of the church. And I had some vows that I'd written, and I sort of spoke those vows to myself about how I committed to myself, my life. And she was like, threw some confetti over me. It was all very sweet. It was all very sweet. And it was also very discreet. And it was funny because there were some people that sort of came in, and they were kind of like started watching. They were fascinated about, probably thought we were Looney Tunes, but it was like really very, it was very tender. It was very tender. And I thought, for somebody that has spent so much of my life being so harsh towards myself, it was actually really lovely to be that tender to myself. And, And we were laughing. It wasn't like, you know, we could see the humour in it as well. And then we left there and then we cycled off and we went cycling to this lake. And then Gabby had made all these amazing gifts. And each time I recommitted to some of the vows that I was making to myself, she would throw more confetti over me. And we laid flowers in the water and as I made these commitments and let them float off. And it was just so special. And then we cycled some more and we laughed. And then we went out for an amazing meal and drank champagne. And it was just me and my best friend in the whole world.
Yeah.
And myself, you know, and celebrating not only being 50, but the love that has been hard earned, Selena, this love of myself that was not something, you know, of course I was born with it, but it was stolen from me a long, long time ago. So it was really worth celebrating that return to love of myself. So,
and that's what makes it so different in a way to a marriage and a commitment with someone else, because usually you haven't gone through that journey of hating each other and making one another suffer for years. You probably would have ended it. Didn't you? You were like, I'm not sure I'm going to marry myself to this one.
I have to say a few couples I've worked with over the years, they might have been through something similar.
Right. But generally it's that, you know, you've got together with someone and you may have had your ups and downs, but not to the same degree of years of hating one another and rejecting one another
judging,
being cruel to one another and being like every morning waking up and looking at one another, look at you, and which can come with that, which so many of us have that relationship with ourselves. Yeah. So to get to that point of then committing and to yourself and finding that love is such a huge journey, and I totally get it, like the laughter with it, because in our society it definitely comes with an eye roll, I've thought about it a few times and then gone no, and then like backed out of it, and who knows, one day, but because there is that, I feel that look of like eye rolling and judgment from society. How have people responded when you've told them?
It's really interesting because that eye roll, which I, you know, like I understand it.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's kind of a reinforcement of what the self-marriage is about. It's, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You can roll your eyes all you like. I mean, when I wrote a piece about marrying myself, I think I said, for those of you that will laugh and jeer, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And those of you that really understand what this is about, you get it, you know. And so it's like, it's all welcome. So on that level, the sort of eye rolling, it's like if it gives somebody a giggle, you know, we need a giggle in life. So go for your life, you know. But I'm really, part of committing to myself is I don't need your validation.
Yeah.
And you can roll your eyes and that's okay. So, but in terms of how people have responded, it depends who it is, of course. You know, I'm sure... You know, one of my daughters is sort of never mentioned, and I'm sure there's plenty of eye rolling. She's like, oh, mum's up to her nonsense, loony, personal development, hippy dippy. I can imagine, I can feel the judgment, you know, and her at least inner eye roll.
The sharp intake of breath.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And it's like never been mentioned. I don't think she's ever said a word. And that's fine because I get it. It's like, it's also something I think that for me comes in the second half of life. And if you're in the first half of life, and I don't just mean age, but in terms of wisdom and depth and an understanding of a deeper dimension to life and love and all the purpose of this is that you can't understand a second half of life decision when you're still in the first half of your life.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And why do you think it comes with the second half of your life decision?
You can be in the second half of your life at 20. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We know there's old souls, wise old souls around. But I think it comes because I think there's a necessary phase of life. And, you know, this comes as well. It's not just my awareness, but the learnings that I've gained from people like Father Richard Rohr, who wrote an amazing book called Falling Upwards. And he talks about the first and second half of life. And I think in this first half of life, you're meant to go through the egoic phases. It's quite, you know, like they say, the 20s are the narcissistic years. Sorry to all your 20-somethings.
But it's okay, guys.
We love you. But they're called the narcissistic years necessarily because it's when you're really starting to build an egoic structures. And that's a necessary part of life to be able to get a career or a house or achieve certain things. You need an ego, a strong ego attachment. And that phase of life we all go through. But at some point, if you're lucky enough to be around that long, you have some kind of crisis in your life that launches an opening pad into the second half of your life. And I'm not just talking about age, but that's when you start to really understand that there's a deeper meaning. You know, I always call it the story beyond the story. Mm. And Father Richard Rohr, and I'm not religious, by the way, but he is a father, so I want to honor that. But Richard Rohr, he always says it's the river beneath the river. And I really love that. So what he's saying is in the first half of life, we just see a river. And in the second half of life, we recognize there's a river beneath the river.
That's so interesting. It so often is when you go through that crisis.
Yes.
And actually, even when people come to me for career change coaching, they often say, I just feel there's more to life than this. And that would sum it up. This can't be it.
No.
The striving and this...
Yes.
But yeah.
And it's not. And, you know, I totally believe it's not. But when you're in that first half of life in the struggle and the narcissistic years, which I lived to their fullest, you cannot, it's like a color you've never seen. You can't comprehend the deeper meaning to your story because you're too ingrained in your story.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, there's an opening, you know, an emotional portal. Something happens to you. Someone you love leaves or dies, or you get ill, or someone you love gets ill, and you just then through that pain, that heartbreak, that illness, whatever is true, you then have an opportunity to go into the story beyond the story, the river beneath the river.
When life doesn't turn out the way you expected,
yes.
And something, some crushing disappointment or turn of events,
yes,
and it's just like, oh, hang on,
yes,
but it was supposed to work out this way. And it's like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Life had other plans.
Yeah, exactly.
It's here to teach you something.
Yeah. And that's it, I think, is that when you're really just attached to the drama of your life situation, which most of us are in the first half of life, you don't see beyond the limitations of that.
Mm.
If that makes sense. You don't think, what is this trying to teach me?
Yeah.
What am I meant to learn here? How am I meant to rub up against this painful situation to evolve?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, what it's all about, to grow and deepen.
Yes.
And become tender, more tender and more loving.
Yeah, so it's in that second stage of life that you start getting into the depths, going deeper. Yeah, I love that, the idea of the river beneath the river.
Yes.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, I tell you, if you haven't read that book, Falling Upwards.
I'd never heard of it.
Oh my God. In fact, I might have a copy that you can take.
Brilliant.
Because it is, and he just encapsulates what so many of us, you know, the kind of existential questions, that what's it all about? Is this it? There must be a deeper meaning. He really, Richard Rohr, really highlights how all of these things are part of the bigger picture, and how you're meant to not get the bigger picture in the first half of life.
Yeah.
You're meant to, you know, that's why my daughter has the inner eye rolls, at least, about me marrying myself, and because she doesn't get it. And I don't mean that in a patronizing way. She's not meant to. But there'll come a point when she will, it might not ever be about self-marriage, but she will get the river beneath the river.
Get it. Yeah.
And he says an amazing thing, Selena. He says, Richard Rohr says, about necessary suffering and how you absolutely are meant to suffer in this lifetime. We are wired for struggle so that we can evolve and grow. And he calls it necessary suffering. And he says, when you're in those places, it feels like falling, but you're actually flying.
Oh, but I love this, because when I think back to my big kind of crisis point was in my 20s, actually, my mid to late 20s. And I remember feeling like I had fallen down into the depths of like a dark, deep ocean.
Yeah.
And then it took a while to realize that I could come back up to the surface. And actually then I liked the depths and I liked having those two places. But so often
when, again, through coaching people through big change, all sorts of things can trigger it, or it's an internal trigger, and suddenly they're just like, I just feel lost suddenly. Mm. But it's that sense of they feel, it's scary. They feel so lost and confused and like they're falling. Mm. And I often can't hide my delight because I'm just like, oh, this is so exciting. Look, the transformation's already begun. I know this is horrible for you, but from someone who's standing on the outside, this is great because it's only when you hit those depths that you're now ready and you're ready to make change. You're ready to let go of what was and now discover something new. And so it's so... not even discombobulating isn't the right word, though I love that word. It is suffering to go through that. Mm. But then...
unnecessary.
Yeah. But then you're so far through the other side. You've been through that. And now you've risen up to the degree that you've actually taken this commitment to yourself and shown yourself so much love that you've wanted to actually create a marriage with yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, that must feel amazing when you look back to yourself in the first half, in your first half of life and where you were then to how you are now in a marriage with yourself.
Yes. Yeah. And also, I think the other thing just to say is that I love ritual, as you know.
Exactly. I was going to say, for you and Gabby to be the ones there, I mean, you are the queens of ritual. Ritual is such a part of... you know, the bridge, and obviously I've experienced that. So I can just imagine, and the presence and the magic and the gravitas that you brought to those ritual and the playfulness.
Oh yeah, totally.
Just wow. I mean, I wish I'd been a fly.
Yeah. Oh, it was very special. Very, very special. Yeah, in terms of the first half of life, remind me what you asked about.
It must be amazing to then look back from where you are now in this commitment to yourself from a space of love, to look back and think, wow, what your younger self must have thought of this, that you could even get to a place where you would experience this kind of relationship with yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I have huge compassion for that, my younger self. Mm. You know, huge compassion for the choices I made that were self-destructive and really bad for me, and the self-loathing that came as a result of this poor choices and this psychical process that I went on for years and years and years. And I have such compassion for that younger me that was really without any kind of skills for life, really. You know, I always say that I kind of raised myself and as best as I could, and there were some angels that came along the way to really support me and guide me, but it was a real journey of just like stabbing in the dark, not knowing how to do life, you know. And so I really, you know, when I see young people, when they see their struggles and I see them wrestling with their own inner demons and their own trying to do life and find out how to do life, I feel such an urgency to kind of, it's like I want to really reassure them and say, this too shall pass. You know, you will come through this. And this, like you said, you get excited for people. It's like, this is going to be the making of you. And I know it doesn't feel like that. And I know it might feel really painful and you want it to end. And, you know, and we know that there's huge issues around suicide in young people, especially young men. And it's tragic because it's like, oh, I just want to help these people understand that it's necessary suffering and it will lead to such greatness, such wonder, such humility. And you could live such an amazing life. So it's always a tragedy to me. Funnily enough, I was at the gym this morning and my trainer told me about a friend of his that, you know, their sister had killed herself at like 26. And it's like heartbreaking because it's such a tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's thinking, what can we do to support people to understand that this is a necessary part of their development and it will pass.
And there is a way through.
Yeah. And it is also about building their resources, which I've had to, you know, I've done myself over the years. But young people also need some guidance, you know, around that, building their inner resources.
Yeah. So was it also as much of as a a celebration of how far you have come, particularly being that you were 50 and just kind of celebrating the relationship that you now had.
Yes.
And just wanting to like, yeah, really take a moment and go, wow.
Yeah,
look
totally.
How I feel about myself today.
Yes.
Because it is amazing.
It is amazing. And it was definitely a celebration of how far I've come and also a commitment to what I refuse to do going forward.
Right.
So like also it's like when I put that ring on my finger, Selena, it was like I am committing. And in, as part of those vows, it's like I'm not going to say another derogatory remark about my body, about the way I live, about when I stumble, just as we were talking about in the car, that I can say things about myself and say that I love and accept them anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like part of being human that we are all going to make mistakes in inverted commas. We all say things clumsily sometimes. I certainly do a lot, you know, and that's okay. And it doesn't have a fundamental impact on who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I am a good person doing good in the world and I deserve love just as the love that I give to so many other people.
Mm.
So it's really, it's like that putting, making those vows and putting that ring on my finger. It was so powerful. Like people, I imagine, I mean, I got married a long time ago, but I imagine that's how people feel when they get married. It's like the gravitas of that.
Mm.
It really is. I'm gonna commit to this. And obviously not everybody takes those vows seriously, but I take them very seriously. Vows are very, very important. And I just, it's like, how could I possibly think of committing to somebody else without committing to myself?
Yeah.
You know, and that's so many people do. They're like, getting married and making all these loving, caring, supportive commitments to their partner. I will, you know, I will stand by your side and I will be there in sickness and in health. But you won't say that to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You won't give that to yourself, you know, and it's like, I'm giving that to myself. And I want to, that's why I asked you to do this podcast, because I want to promote that. And I do promote that in my work. You know, it's like, you've got to start here. That's the inner activism part of the work that I do.
And have you felt a difference since you made that commitment? Because when people get married, often they say, even if they've been together for years, which obviously you've been with yourself for 50 years, is that actually it does make a difference. And even though their relationship had been, you know, for a long time already for some of them, that marriage commitment really did shift the dynamic of the relationship and did make a difference. Have you felt the same marrying yourself?
Totally. So, I mean, it's 2 years ago, I'm 52 now, and what I've noticed is that, like, we talked about the menopause earlier, and when I went into the menopause, I put on weight. I have put on weight, and you know, it's menopause, and women all over the land will recognize this. And I will not allow myself to treat myself with disrespect through saying unkind things about my body, unkind things when I look in the mirror. I'm not having it. You know, it's just like you would your own best friend. You'd say, look, you're lovely. Just, you know, you'd say to him, please, you know, don't be like so harsh to yourself. And that is really, I've noticed that I put that ring on my finger and it's like, So when I noticed recently I put on weight, I could feel the default position of looking in the mirror and wanting to say X, Y, Z and saying to myself, no.
Yeah, the other voice was loud.
Yes, the other voice was much louder. And I'm like, you're fantastic. And that doesn't change because you've gained half a stone.
Yeah.
You're just half a stone more of fantastic, you know. And yeah, so it really has made a difference in things like when I'm nervous about something. I did a talk recently at a conference in London and I was really super nervous. And I put that ring on my finger and I'm like, yeah, I've got your back. I'm here.
I was going to say, you've got your own back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that just must feel amazing.
It does. It's the best marriage I've ever had. Elizabeth Taylor. I've had so many marriages. No, it's so simple, Selena, but yet so profound, like life. And those vows were simple. The ceremony was simple. Just me and my mate having giggles, but making very deep vows, me making very deep vows to myself. And I take those vows seriously as I take ceremony seriously. And it has just embedded this self-love, you know, but with humility and grace. So it's not, there's not, you know, because again, you know what the Brits are like, it's self-love equals arrogance.
Yeah.
It means value, to me, it means a valuing and respecting and cherishing yourself like you would anyone you love. End of.
Do you think there's been, because it feels like it is the really the first time in human history that people have got to a stage where they are making these commitments of love to themselves. Do you think it existed before in, you know, ritual? Or I just kind of think back to, like, you know, the witches. I was like, doing, like, the witches. I was like, they must have been doing this to a degree.
Of course.
Of, like, you know, making commitments to obviously things like honor the earth, or, you know, people making commitment to God or whatever they, you know, they sort of worship, and making commitments to a path in life, but making a commitment to love and to your loving yourself. Maybe it is totally new. Maybe it is a completely new shift. I'm just wondering if you've ever thought about whether any of your ancestors ever used to do anything like this.
I think that it's a really good question. And I think that, you know, if you think about, like, witches and stuff, they were in their own way. And I'm sure they had many spells and ceremonies that were honouring the choices they made to live as a witch, for example.
Yeah.
And it cost them dear.
Yeah.
You know, and part of, you know, them choosing to honor themselves and live through their witchiness was that they were ostracized and rejected from their communities, labeled and, you know, burnt and drowned, and terrible things happened to these people that were seen as witches because they just essentially were not treading the traditional path, that they had some other, which people didn't understand, some other magic and a deeper knowing, river beneath the river. But I think in terms of my ancestors as well, I think, you know, I have behind me a lineage on the female side of queens, you know. And so I think that they may have done it in slightly different ways, but there's lots of kind of celebration. And I really feel this, like when I got married, I forgot to say this, the day I got married to myself, I was walking through this magical place in Salzburg, up into the kind of hills and the away from the city. And it's actually, we were going to go to get married in the church that was in the Sound of Music from I know.
Oh my.
I know. How do you solve a problem like Donna?
I mean, I love the Sound of Music.
Me too.
That would have finished me off.
Oh, yeah. So, but unfortunately, it was
in the Abbey.
Yes. In the Abbey. I know. This is how queenly I am. That's self-love, girl. It was closed for renovation, so we had to go to a different church, but the churches in Austria are magical anyway. Yeah. So, but yeah, we were going there, and as we were walking there, I turned to Gabby and I was like, really emotional, and I said, I can feel the line behind me of my ancestors drumming and chanting, and these women, these amazing, powerful, queenly women, just like, whoop, whoop, you know, celebrating. God. And of course my English side as well, not just the African side, but just felt this real sense of my ancestors really cheering me on, because every person that came before you, in their goodness, in their spirit, they would want this for you to essentially, if you take away the word marriage, to commit to loving yourself so that you can, you know, which is what I believe in, as you know, be more in love and service in the world. Because I really believe you have to do your inner work to make your peace with yourself, to heal your own wounds, so that you can truly love and serve from a place of greatness, not from a place of lack and deficit and exhaustion, which so many people do. They sacrifice themselves to be in service. And actually, you have to start with yourself. What are we saying? What message are we sending young people if we're like these dried out husks, you know, that are crawling through life, trying to help other people from an empty tank?
Yeah. Hoping that I don't know if in some way hoping that that will fill us up.
Yes.
In the helping.
Exactly.
And that definitely we'll feel better
women.
By ourselves.
Yeah.
That we'll feel better about ourselves. You mentioned before about, and we talk about this a lot in Project Love, but this idea that loving yourself is in some way a selfish act, and therefore that self-marriage could be seen as, you know, oh my God, so self-indulgent, you know, of course, just like thinking about yourself. And I just, you know, we know the kinds of stuff that people say. And obviously the work that you do, you know, you must either see this or come up against this narrative a lot that people hold on to. Why do you think that people get, and our culture, our society is so uncomfortable with the idea of loving, daring to love ourselves, daring to accept ourselves and give ourselves unconditional love? It's like, it's not just a discomfort. There's definitely a fear that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's so layered, that question. I think part of it is obviously we've got the kind of British stiff upper lip, get on with it. It's all navel gazing. You don't need to work on yourself. You don't need to go to therapy. You just need to crack on, you know? Yeah. And so we have that in our sort of cultural lineage.
Yeah.
This kind of, you know, don't look inside, look without, outside, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's that level. And then there's also the whole consumerist machine that is invested in us feeling shit about ourselves. So don't you dare love yourself, because if you love yourself and you see yourself as enough in all your flawed beauty, you won't need this stuff. You won't buy what I'm selling. So I'm going to make sure. And I think that...
oh my God, it's a capitalist... we need that so that we... To be consumers,
you need to feel somehow less than and have a hole inside you that needs filling. So the whole capitalist machine is invested in you feeling less than on some level, so that you will try to fill your hole misguidedly with all the things that they are touting, whether that be clothes or drink or drugs or whatever, you know, it's like, don't you dare love yourself. And so, of course, there's an investment in ridiculing that. And we buy into that as well. So we're like, oh, yeah, how silly. Ha ha, love yourself. But everybody is invested in the belief about loving others. You know, most people have this fairy tale fantasy about it, which is what many marriages are. Just little girl and little boy fantasies. Not, you know, I was a couples therapist for years, and I would talk to people in their preparation for marriage and say, have you talked about how you're going to resolve conflict? Have you talked about when you're married, how you're going to manage the day-to-day chores of living? Have you talked about whether you want children? Many people do not have those conversations, Selena. You're marrying someone.
It's
you are committing, supposedly, till death do us part, but you don't even have that depth of conversation. And you know, as another great person that I love, David Rico, says, you're not, if you still believe in fairy tales, in princes, white chargers or whatever the fantasy is, and Cinderella syndrome, you are not ready for marriage, because you're not an emotional grown-up.
You're waiting to be saved.
If you're waiting to
happily
be saved,
ever after.
Yeah. And that's what so many marriages, like I say, I work with so many people running up to their marriage, and they have not had those deeper conversations. They're just buying into the white dress and and the fantasy that we were sold again by the consumer and capitalist machine around all the books that we read as children, all the Disney films we saw. It's got a kind of sinister undertone there, actually. And so I do think that, self-love, we are sort of indoctrinated to believe that it is self-indulgent. And that suits the whole machine, that we feel
that
way.
Yeah. It needs that to continue.
It totally does. And it's like, like many people in the second half of life, is I got to a point where it's like, I ain't buying what you're selling. I am not buying what you're selling on a literal level. I live a minimalist lifestyle, and I'm also not buying what beliefs you're trying to stuff down inside of me to say I should weigh a certain amount, I should be a certain size, my skin should look like this, etc., etc., etc. I ain't buying it. I'm loving this, all of me as I am right now, regardless of what I weigh or how old I am. I'm perfect, just as you are. So passionate.
I love it. So I'm curious about when did you first decide, I'm going to marry myself? Like, did the idea come to you, and did you go through like, no, that's silly. No, yes, I am. Or was it just like, I'm doing it? Yes.
And will she say yes?
Oh, I'll have to think about it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I had been thinking about some kind of ceremony for a long time, all through my 40s. I was thinking, I think even when I came up to 40, I wanted to do something to sort of celebrate already starting to feel much kinder towards myself, more compassionate towards myself, but I didn't. And then, you know, life happened. And but then more and more as we built the bridge, and we use, as you know, a lot of ceremony in the bridge, and I just saw the power of it. And of course, I did a lot of research and reading about the power of ceremony and the power of vows in particular, and what that means to say words and the impact that that has, and in terms of commitments. And I just thought, yeah, I've got to do this. And so then I sort of thought, wouldn't it be lovely to do it on my 50th, to actually really mark this second half of life with not just a celebration of reaching 50, which believe me, in the first half of my life was touch and go in terms of my levels of self-loathing and self-destruction. But it was really like, it was just like how taking myself forward in life, and just how I'm going to treat myself and think about myself and talk about myself and love myself. And yeah, what better way to do that than a good celebration?
You've inspired me.
I'm only a few months off my 40th.
Oh,
and I did
think,
when I did an episode with our friend Tiu Dehan, who is also another queen of rituals and marking.
She is the queen.
She is the queen of rituals. And so I was like, maybe for my 40th, I should go and see Tiu, and we'll put together. And then I've sort of like, I've chickened out, is basically what I've done. But I think, I'm going to give it some more thought. And even if I take myself off on my own to a tree and say some vows and do something symbolic and do my own ritual, whether I take someone or not, I think, why not? But I know the resistance. The resistance is that ridicule.
Yes.
And I think I hadn't fully acknowledged how strong it is and why it is so firmly there. Like the system is threatened.
Yes. And you have been fighting the system for lifetimes, my fellow witch. So, you know, it's like, it's no biggie really. And really, you know, it's like this, there's this a great quote that's something like, I'm rubbish at remembering quotes, but it's something like loving yourself in today's system is an act of a huge rebellion.
It's a rebellious act. I think of course, it's Brené Brown.
Is it?
I think fabulous. I'm pretty sure it is. I think I've put that quote on Instagram before.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
But it's true, isn't it?
Yeah, in a time like this, in a society like ours, to love yourself is one of the most rebellious acts or something that you can do. And interestingly, in my 30th year, I had a very large tattoo on my arm, a sacred geometry, flower of life. And it was, one of the things it was a symbol of, I'm no longer to hide myself, and particularly that kind of what I call that witchy side of myself. I don't want to hide it anymore in this life. And so
here it is.
There she is.
Yeah.
And yeah,
fabulous.
So what will my 40th bring? Maybe another tattoo, or maybe,
who knows?
A self-love, some kind of ritual, definitely some kind of commitment to myself.
Lovely.
And the path I'm choosing going forward.
Beautiful. And it's also a wonderful celebration and wonderful excuse for a celebration. Do you know what I mean? Whether that's by yourself and honouring yourself or inviting friends and all that is so beautiful. I don't know, did you see the Grayson Perry series he did about ritual? You know Grayson Perry, the artist?
Yeah, I know.
So he I didn't see all of it, but I saw a clip that somebody posted, because I haven't got a television, but I saw a clip someone posted on social media, which was of him witnessing a divorce ceremony. And it was exquisitely beautiful. And it was basically a couple coming together with their children, with their family in a park in London on a beautiful day. And they literally said vows about how they would recommit to honouring themselves, each other, their children, their life, as they divorce, as they separate. It was exquisitely beautiful. And you can ridicule that all you like.
Oh, that is beautiful.
But that is so powerful. And those girls, their children, what they're witnessing there. And I think he even did something where they created a piece of art, and then they they cut it in half, the two of them, to acknowledge the separation, and then they stitched it back. So it was kind of not a perfect merging, but like
amazing.
It was fantastic.
That is amazing.
Like everyone loves a marriage, but what about a divorce ceremony?
Yeah, exactly.
And at the end of it, she went this way in the park and he went that way. So they went sort of left and right, and then they walked around this circuit. They met again in the middle with their friends.
God, that's amazing.
I know. I could cry just telling
you
that.
Wow. Oh. So moving.
So powerful.
So for anyone listening, slash myself, who's thinking, maybe I, I could do this as a ritual and a self-marriage. Now I'm getting all stuttery because I'm thinking, oh God, am I going to do this?
Can I really commit to myself?
Yeah, I know exactly. Now I'm saying it on the podcast. Yeah. People are going to hold me to it. Anyway, yeah. But for anyone listening that's thinking, yeah, I would really like to create a ritual where I commit to myself and marry myself. Mm. What would your guidelines be on how they do it, how they think about it?
Mm. Well, funny enough, I believe when I was doing my own research, I believe that I stumbled across, and I can't remember what it's called, but you could Google it, that there are almost like kits where you can get supported to develop your own self-marriage ritual. You can buy like a kit if you like. But I'm much more simple than that. I just think, how do you want your wedding to be? How do you want to honor yourself? And for some people like me, I'm an introvert, so I didn't want loads of people there. That's not my style. I wanted me and a mate and a water and a sacred place and confetti and great food and champagne. These are all my requirements, you know. And other people would want all their friends and outside, or, you know, it's really make it yours. But sit down and really think about, if you are going to commit to the love of your life, which is you, how would you like to honor that? And like you say, for some, it'd be just underneath a tree by themselves in a quiet ritual where they write down some vows or light a candle or something like this, very simple. And other people, it can be, you know, doing something much more celebratory with involving more people. But I think make it yours, what is meaningful and special to you. But definitely write vows for yourself, and they are really commitments that you choose to honor yourself with, validating how far you've traveled and how you commit to going forward in this second half of your life.
Amazing. So beautiful. So powerful.
Oh, it really is.
And such an act of rebellion in our society.
Yeah.
But yeah, wow. Celebrating that loving relationship with yourself.
Yes.
And taking it seriously.
And taking it seriously and with some lightness.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And also, let's not forget the deeper meaning for me. When you commit to loving yourself in that way, it is so that you can be more in service in the world. That is such an important part of this. It's not just, I love me, aren't I great?
It's not like, let's make the rest of my life all about me.
Yeah, no, it's really...
Oh, you'd get so bored.
Yeah. If you haven't learned that, you're not in the second half of your life, trust me.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's really actually getting beyond the meaningless stuff of all the judgments and the inner critic and all the ways that we don't celebrate ourselves, and actually taking a moment to say, I'm great as I am, and I'm going to really shine my light in the world. And that involves love and service for most people. That's how we make a difference, to love more and to serve more. And as I always say, to serve more is sometimes just smiling on the street into a stranger's eyes. It's just being the best mother, father, parent, child, person that you can be in the world, in whatever that means to you. But serve is what we're here for, to love and to serve. Mm.
Donna, thank you so much.
What
another wonderful conversation. And I definitely want to come back for more.
Well, good. And I look forward to getting the pictures at the very least of your celebration.
Oh, God, no, you are.
No pressure.
Do you know what? I'm definitely going to do something. And I think I was worrying about having to do it with other people there. But I equally think that I can do something. Probably mine will be going off to the sea.
Nice.
Which would involve a journey.
Yes.
And, you know, just planning the day.
Yes.
And then doing that for myself as I hit that,
yes,
that 40 milestone.
Fantastic. Can I just tell you that my honeymoon was in, because I love the ocean. So my honeymoon involved going to the ocean, and I did more rituals by the sea and in the sea. And I had just the best honeymoon ever.
Oh my God. I can't believe you're almost going to miss that bit. You also had a honeymoon.
Totally, of course.
Okay, right. Okay, this is giving me more ideas. Yes. Okay, I need to take myself off.
Let's not talk about
fabulous.
The sex.
Oh, God. Oh, but I hope that was enjoyable.
Oh, fantastic. Takes the whole meaning of self-love to a whole different level.
As it should. It should be going to that level as
all
well.
Welcome. It's all welcome.
Oh, thank you, Donna.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it. I love having our conversation.
Oh, it is such a joy, and yeah, such a gift.
Mm, totally. Thank you, Selena.
So as promised, I'm now going to tell you what I have got planned. Fully inspired by both this episode and the episode I did earlier on in the year with Tia Dahan, who, as we mentioned in the episode, is queen of rituals. So having had this conversation with Donna, I went away thinking, okay, I want to do something. And so I reached out to four of my witchy friends, four felt like the right number, and I said, I want to do some kind of ceremony, some kind of ritual as I step into my 40s and give thanks for my 30s and life before then, and really step into this new chapter to say some vows and really committing myself and setting some powerful intentions. And I said, maybe we could go down to like a tree, or go down to the sea, or go down to some water, the river. And a friend of mine was just like, or we could go to a cabin in the woods, which happens to have a hot tub, and spend a whole weekend in nature and really make into a special event. And so everyone was very excited about this idea, as am I. So that is what I'm going to be doing. I'm creating I haven't actually created the ritual yet. That's to come. We're going to do it in November, so about a month after my actual 40th. But yeah, I'm doing it. I'm actually doing it. So I will share more about the ritual and the ceremony. Vicky's going to be there. She's one of the witches. So we will, in future episodes, we will tell you all about it, but I am doing it. So thanks to Donna, and thanks to Tia before her, who both have inspired me to really take that step and create a ceremony for my 40th for me. It feels really special. So I'll let you know how it goes.
Listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode, and if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say best podcast ever. Thank you.